Louis would go when she asked you, you know, come home, you know, 8 o'clock. And she was so cold. She had a dress on and she had a pain in here, you know.
Yeah, she had a bad pain.
And she got so cold, she hurriedly drink one cup. She always has two. And she said, and I gave her the other cup, you know, and poured, and she said, I gotta get right home. I'm gonna freeze here.
Yeah.
And that was you know, Elizabeth, you know, and others, you know, from town, and they said, they have had a flu, you know, just then, you know.
Yeah.
Chris and Hayford. Yeah. And they mine, he said.
Yeah.
That's all. He just chases about it. That's all.
Does Dr. Rebar come to the Pioneer home to visit?
Yeah, he said he's a doctor now since Townsend quit or fired or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they take turns.
I think so. He's been here now for a while, you know, a little while. That Rebar, Rebar.
Let me get back to you and tell me how you spell your last name.
U-O-T-I-L-A.
U-O-T-I-L-A.
One L.
What was your name, your maiden name, before you were married?
Keturi.
Keturi?
Yeah, so Keturi. That's my maiden name, Keturi. Yeah,
cool.
I'm and to
Do
Elmer.
You have family here?
Yes. Keturi, Elmer Keturi, that was so sick just now.
Yeah.
He nearly died in the hospital here. And he went over to Virginia Mason, and that's why he got straightened out. He would have died. And Johnson said so too, you know.
Yeah.
Johnson said Evans was his doctor. And he had bad diarrhea, really bad diarrhea. And he doctored him, you know, at home. He's her doctor too, Evans, you know.
So Elmer's name is Keturi.
Huh?
Keturi.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought, and then you have another nephew named Utila.
Yeah, that's Eugene's nephew.
Eugene Utila.
And that's Cassie's nephew.
No, Elmer is your nephew.
My nephew, Keturi. His name is Keturi. My oldest brother's son, you know.
But when you came to the United States, did you come with your family, the Keturi family, or?
I came with Cassie's sister, and I met Cassie my family come here within a year and a half. Whole family, three brothers and two girls, you know,
uh-huh.
A mother and dad.
And you came from Finland.
Finland, that was 1901 in
mm-hmm.
June. And my parents, first two brothers come, you know, and then first sister and a brother come, and then. Two brothers come, of course you don't need to say that separately.
But that was all about 1901 that you came.
I think they came, you know, a year before my sister and them, you know, it was in 19 yet. It was 99, I guess, you know, when they came.
1899?
Yeah, the first my sister, yeah.
I see.
1899. Yeah.
But you came to the United States with Gus's sister.
Yeah, I met Gus on my way here, you know. My parents came to this city, you know, Tammerfors, and Gus was there. And Gus was 17. He's 1 year younger
mm-hmm.
than I am. And he was 17, and I was 17, and I was just turning to 18 there, you know. In that city on my way here, you know. So I was 18 when I came here.
And so you met Gus in Finland? Or?
Yeah, I met Gus in Finland, and first time in that city, you know. He was 17, and I just turned to 18 there, you know.
Okay. What town in Finland were you born?
I was born in, that was... town or state?
Or county.
A town, yeah.
Or state.
Huh?
T- town or state, in either one?
Oh, well, it was, it's, well, just as well say Rauma, because it was 10 kilometers from Rauma.
Rauma.
And that's a city. Yeah, that's a city.
I see.
It's just 10 kilometers, not right in a city, but round city,
ten
you know.
Yeah, from
they
Rauma.
Just walk there all the time, 10 kilometers, you know.
I see.
So that's easier than this Eurajoki, you know, was the name of the place where I born, but right close to Rauma, that's what they say, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
When were you born? What year and what month?
I was born 1883, January 10th.
And you had three brothers?
Yeah, I got three brothers, yeah.
And one sister.
And one sister, yeah.
And you came to the United States before your mother and father?
Yeah. See, they went to take me. I supposed to come with them, you know, and I was just finishing. I was in a confirmation school, you know. They have that, you know, in the spring, you know, few weeks, and they have it in the fall first, you know, and then that's what I was when my brothers left, you know, just finishing, you know, confirmation, you know, and yeah, and so I could be full grown then, you know.
Yes.
They came, you know, my three brothers. They didn't come at the same time, but you know, they came. But my sister and a brother came, and then these others. But see, we came, you know, close to 2 years, but year and a half. The whole family was here. And my three brothers and a sister came first, put that way. And then, is that the coin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my gosh, all this talk, but I...
I'm just trying to talk, I'm just trying to establish when you came. This is just for my notes.
Oh.
So I can write a story.
Oh, you not going to, that's not taken in, no.
That's, I'm taking this now, yeah.
Yeah, my gosh. Landed in Boston 1901.
In Boston?
Yeah, in June. And I came with Cassie's sister.
And did you live in Boston or did you come?
No, I went to Cape Cod.
Cape Cod?
Cape Cod, yeah. Uh-huh. I went to Cape Cod, where my sister was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I went to work in there, you know, to family. Sister had that place for me before I ever come to United States.
Oh, so you worked for a family?
Yeah.
And what did you do? Just housework? Or
and
there's
just the housework, yeah. Just the housework. And that was really nice place, you know. It was just like a home to me, you know. I was lucky. One of the lucky ones that come from Finland. Yeah, just like a home, you know.
Yes.
They were real humans. Oh, they were nice people. Yeah. Yeah. That was just like home, you know.
And how long did you stay with that family?
3 years and 4 months. And then my mother and the father had come to this country and right after me, you know, just as soon they had sold the farm, you know, they come here, you know. I supposed to come with them, but I wrote to my sister to get to send me a ticket. I want to come right away before they get ready to come, you know. So I come alone, you know, and then I met Cassie's sister and Cass's dad so she come with me.
You met Gus on your way to the United States.
Yeah, then. I met then. That's what I met. And my parents came to see me off to this city, you know. See me off, you know. Then I met Gus's sister, and oh, she wanted to come too. And she was weaving in there, and she was a good weaver, and she come here, and she went to Pittsburgh and weave, and she made good money right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then did Gus come to Alaska right away, or?
Gus was in there, you know. He came in 1902. Yeah, he came right in the spring too, you know.
And did he go into Dawson or to Fairbanks?
Or? no, he come to Cape Cod too.
Oh, in 1902,
yeah.
I see.
He come to Pittsburgh first to his sister. And then they come and see me, and he didn't go away.
Oh.
He didn't go away, you know. He stayed there, yeah. He stayed there, and he got to work there. And he stayed in Cape Cod, yeah.
And what year, were you married in Massachusetts?
No, I was married in Butte, Montana. Then we went to, I have to tell you, go back to this, you know, my mother got sick, you know, when I was in this, working this family, you know, and all they liked me, you know, my mother got sick, my mother and father came and they went to Michigan right away, you know, my brothers was in a stool factory, you know, mm-hmm. a chair factory or stool factory in Worcester, and they didn't like that, so they went to Michigan, you know. Went to Michigan, and they went to in a mine and working, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then they got the rented a place, and the boys were home, you know, and they lived here just like home, you know. My
I
mother
see.
Cooked for them, and
yeah.
And they stayed all they there, and sister and I, we were in Cape Cod, yeah. And my mother got sick, and my sister had got married and she had a little baby and she said, mother's sick, you know, and she's delirium and she's better, you better go home, you can go, I can go with the baby.
So you went to Michigan?
Yeah, so I went to Michigan too, you know, and Gus came too. He followed me.
He followed you?
Yeah, he followed me. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. He followed me soon after, yeah. And then my oldest brother was married this year, Elmer's father. He was married already, you know, then, you know, when I went there, you know. Two of the brothers was home, you know, they were married. And my youngest brother want me to come here. He come there, you know, from he went to work to Hancock, Michigan. Well, that just don't matter, you know, but that, you know, but all but he want me to go to where he went to work, you know, Hancock, Michigan. And I was in Hancock, Michigan then, you know, for a year, you know, and
uh-huh.
then I went to Butte, you know. My brothers went to Butte, you know.
And you followed your brothers to Butte.
And I followed my brothers, and Gus went there first too. He went to West. He didn't go exactly Butte right away, but he went to West, and he went to Astoria, and he was fishing on in Astoria. And then he went to Butte too, you know. And then, of course, I went there right away too then, in Butte, you know. I was in Copper Country in Michigan.
Yeah, right. That's Copper
Country. Copper Country, yeah. Hancock and Houghton.
Uh-huh. And then, is that, you and Gus were married then in Butte?
Yeah. We were 1 year there, you know. I went there 1906 to Butte.
Mm-hmm.
I went 1906 to Butte.
From Michigan.
From Copper Country, Michigan.
And then Gus came in there about the same year.
Huh?
Did Gus come to Butte about the same time?
Gus came to Butte from Astoria then, you know, and he was there, you know, before I went, you know. He come there, went there first, and then I went to Butte, and so 19.
Then, when were you married?
Huh?
When were you married?
1907. We were married in Butte, Montana, 1907. We were there 1 year before I married.
He followed you along.
Yeah, he followed all over.
Yeah.
When he first see me, he wanted to go with me already in Finland, you know. But
yeah.
I didn't. I said, I'm going to America. I don't want to get married yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
he didn't want to get married, but you know, he says, you know, kind of like me, I guess.
Yeah. Well, did you stay in Montana then for a while after you were married?
Yes. We stayed in Montana, and guys went to work in a mine. They had panic yet when we got married in Butte, you know, big panic. And people were leaving, you know, Butte, terrible lot, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we had a 5-room place, you know, and five-room place, fully finished and everything. People were selling everything. I'm just telling this, you don't need to put that. Mm-hmm. And they were leaving, you know, and we had 5-room place, you know, they were very cheap, you know. And we had my two brothers, they were in Butte, you know, my two brothers, yeah. You know, that wasn't married. And I had them, you know, and we had two other fellas, you know, taken care of because they were... They couldn't work. I didn't get a work, you know. But of course, this don't have to be on.
Yeah.
No. Well, anyway, Gus couldn't be in the mine, you know. It was a terrible gassy, awful deep mine.
Yeah.
And gassy, oh, he got so thin, and he did drinking ice water, and it was so hot in that, you know. They couldn't have nothing, you know, towel here, you know, and they ring that all the time.
Yeah.
So we went away from Butte, Montana, you know, and we went to between Helena and Butte.
Mm-hmm.
And they call it Wicks, you know, that's a small place.
Wicks?
Wicks, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a small place, you know, between Helena, but 60 miles, you know, from Butte, you
uh-huh.
know. We went there, and he worked there, you know. We had a really nice day there, you know. Gus pick up, you know, and look like himself, and he had a horses, you know, over there. And had a good time, you know. I went to horseback all the time, and we had a. Little buggy and three horses, and I was a horseback, you know, with other women there, you know. Yeah, and then his brother, Gus is Eugene that's here, you know, he went to Charlie, his name, you know, Gus is a younger brother. He was in Butte too, but he traveled, you know, and he's the one that come Alaska, and that's why we here.
Charlie, Eugene's
father came
uh-huh.
here, and so then his younger brother came here. Because his younger brother, Toivo, came here. Toivo. Yeah, Toivo.
How do you spell that?
T-O-I-V-O.
T-O-I-V-O,
Toivo. Yeah. Toivo, yeah.
Oh.
That's Toivo Rosendel is here, you know. That's his, that's same name, you know, but then that doesn't belong, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the two, Charlie and Toivo came to Alaska.
And they came first, you know, and then Toivo come back to Butte, you know, and he was here one summer in Iditarod, and he said, I'm going back there because they had such a good summer to hot cakes.
Is that right?
That's what they told us, and we laugh. I said, we got a cow. We have cow in Montana too. And I said, I can make you your better hot cakes. You know, you stay here. I can make better hot
uh-huh.
cakes, you know. But that's what he liked most, you know, those sourdough hot cakes.
Yeah.
So he said, he was married too, you know. His wife was in Butte, you know. He got married in Finland, so he said, "I go back." So they come back in the spring and with the skis, you know. Oh, Gus had, you know, that was in the paper, but he's coming here with the skis, you know. You know that.
And he skied overland.
Overland, you know,
yeah.
From he started from Seward. And he went to Iditarod with the skis and
yeah.
six other Finns, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, Bruce put all that on, you know. Stalwart Finns, you know. All Finns, you know. And they skied, you know, from Seward to Iditarod.
Was that about 1913?
That was 1913 in March. In March, yeah.
So you stayed in Montana.
I stayed in Butte.
Yeah.
I went to Butte, and you know, I worked there in Butte. And I belong to Union. Yeah, that early, you know, 1906, you know.
What Union?
You know, I work in a restaurant, you know, the culinary union or something.
Culinary?
Yeah. Yeah, I belong to Union, and that was the only union that women ever belong in the United States, you know. They didn't have no unions, you know. Yeah, I belong to Union, you know. I work in a restaurant, and boy, I had a nice place to work in a restaurant, and I got $40 a month, you know. And the boarding houses, I don't know how come, but they belong to Union too. And they.
You got $40 a month and your boarding room too?
Oh, yeah. $40 a month and a boarding room, you know, and work 8 hours. I work 8 hours, you know, because it's union. And I like this place so much. I want to work there, you know, the rest of my life, I guess.
Yeah.
I worked from 12 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could do my own work. I was working in a mine then, and after we were married, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then.
So you worked there while you were married, while Gus was still there?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I worked there still when I was married. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh yes, I worked there before
that's
I was married.
That's unusual that there was a union that early.
Yeah, that nobody had a union, you know, and we went to, nobody had union except in Butte, Montana, and men had union. Western Federation was there for men, and women then had, you know, union too, you know, and they had. And I had from 12 to 8 to work. And then they had a Finn Hall, you know, right up there, you know. And I could get there, you know, 8 o'clock, you know. Oh, they had a lot of Finns, awful lot. And just, become, you know, 20s. From, you know, 19 to 18 and 19 from, you know, to 20s and 25
yeah.
or 4, you know, Finns working there, you know. Oh,
yeah.
This hall was so full of young people, you know.
Yeah.
It was really nice over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I went to hall all the time, and then they had this union, and it was a Frenchman that ran it, and it was right middle of the town, you know. It was from Maine. I remember that. Even that number, you know, as long as I live, you know, that it was 72 on East Park Street.
72 East Park Street.
72 on East Park Street, yeah. And boy, it was nice place to work. Yeah,
yeah.
I like it there, you know. They had union and then they had Mormon as a boss, you know, young fella Mormon, you know, shift boss, you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and they let me go, you know, any place they like my work.
Yeah.
No girls didn't want to call. When they heard, then they went to union office and asked, you know, they asked what place, where's the work, you know, they went to work for, you know, to get to work, you know. They said, we got 72 on the East Park Street. No, thank you. What shift? 12 to 8. No, thank you. That's a hard shift, you know.
Yeah, right.
But you don't have to put that in
yeah.
a paper. But that's what they, everybody. But I liked it at work. And I didn't have to wash another glass or cup or anything, just straight waiting on you.
On the tables, yeah.
You
say it was a boarding house?
Huh?
Was it a regular boarding house? Or
no, it was just got.
And that's
they had some miners over there, you know. They had some, you know, but it was all. And you know, they had steaks. They had real good beef, you know. They had steaks that was 75 cents, you know, T-bone steak, big T-bone steak,
yeah.
And a tenderloin. They got the tenderloins. They cut it, you know, thick, and then they cut it. That one yet, you know, and it went like this, you know, big tenderloin, and that was 80 cents.
Holy smoke.
80 cents. And you had a big, no more than a dollar. Dollar was the highest price of everything. And talk about good beef and everything in there. They had a really good bar, you know.
Yeah.
Really good. Everything tastes, and they had a bake shop and downstairs, and they used to come and drink coffee in the afternoon, just like here they have coffee breaks, and they come and drink coffee, and they had all kinds of coffee cinnamon rolls and donuts, raised donuts. And everything, all kinds, and a couple of those, two donuts, and a cup of coffee, 5 cents.
Mm.
Which is really cheap.
Yeah. About $2.05 now in Fairbanks.
Yeah, yeah, it's only two.
Well, then Gus came here in 1913.
Yeah.
And did he stay in Alaska then, or did he go back to Montana?
Oh no, he stayed.
He stayed here.
Tell you, we stayed here, you know, when we come, then I came, you know.
Okay, he came in March of 1913.
He came in March, you know. Mm-hmm.
And
this Toivo's wife and Mrs. Soini, they call, one Finn woman that whose husband came on a skiing too, you know, her and I, and we come, you know, outside passes, 1st of May.
1st of May in
1913? 1st of June. 1st of June, yeah.
1913?
1913. That was 1902, you know, when I come from Finland.
Yeah,
or
he came to Alaska. It was the 1st of June of 1913.
Yeah, 19.
And he came by ship.
We come by outside passes on a ship, you know, Senator. The boat's name was Senator. And we come by... outside passes out in to Nome.
Oh, to Nome?
Yeah, well, that's what they call outside passes.
Yeah.
Yeah, to Nome we came.
I see.
About storm and icebergs.
Really?
Yeah, and everyone was sick on a boat, but not me. Really, I was. I never get sick on a stormy. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody was in bed and dark, awful dark, yet then, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, until we got to Nome, and then we find...
Was there lots of ice at Nome when you got there?
No, it wasn't so much in Nome, but it was icebergs in the Bering Sea, you know, when you got there, you know. Mm-hmm. Had a boat course, all slow, all just terrible slow, yeah. And
well, was Gus in Nome to meet you?
Huh?
Did Gus go to Nome to meet you?
Oh, no, he couldn't come to Nome. It was far away, you know. That was then we come on the Yukon.
You went to Nome and then you went up.
I went to Nome, you know. We went to Nome and we were taken in Nome, you know. We were taken on a boat couldn't go to wharf in the Nome, you know.
Right.
Yeah, they couldn't go, you know. We were taken
on a harbor.
But we went there at 2 o'clock. We got 2 o'clock in Nome, you know.
It was two in the
morning, and sun was shining, and just beautiful, you know. It sort of looked nice in my house. We are back in Finland. I think they went to Finland because they got a light nights in there, too.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Then you just stayed in Nome long enough to catch
your boat? Yeah, we were in Nome, you know. We were at Nome, you know, sister. We were there. They had Louis. Then it was that was the third boat. Then you know, so we come on a Senator, and you, Matilda, took us to St. Michael's. We were in St. Michael's, not in Nome. We went to Nome, you know, that
first.
Night, you know, yeah,
and
first,
then you
and one
boat.
Day, yeah, and then you, Matilda, came from. Big boat.
Yumatilla?
Yeah, Yumatilla. That had a Yumatilla. We never heard it before.
That's the name of the boat.
That's the name of the boat. A big ocean boat.
Yumatilla.
Yeah, Yumatilla. And that took us... this is Senator that went back to Seattle, you know, in a hurry to get some more passengers.
Okay, so then you went in the Yuma... Umatilla.
Yeah, that's just the way it was. Umatilla, I forgot how to spell, but you know, Umatilla, it's just the way it's.
Yeah,
Umatilla.
And that took you to St. Michael, and then St. Michael,
We were in St. Michael's for a week, you know, waiting for Louise to get fixed, you know. They were putting this oakum, you know, in this Louise, you know, that's a big boat too. That gotta be pretty big boat there to when the Yukon starts, you know, mouth of the Yukon.
Louise was a stern wheeler?
Huh?
The Louise, was that a stern wheeler boat?
Yeah.
And you were.
That was stern wheel, yeah.
So you waited a week to.
St. Michael.
At St. Michael's.
Yeah. And
Louise.
We were fishing there, you know, we had a good time there, yeah. Yeah. We want, you know, all some of them. There was some Finn fellas came on that boat. Cause his cousin, by the way, you know, he come on a boat. We didn't know him. He was 20 years old. And cause his cousin, you know, came. And this, my sister-in-law, you know, who was married to one of the brothers, you know. She was from the same place as boys who are, you know.
Yeah.
This Toivo's wife, you know, was... Uh-huh. So she knew him, you know, but I wouldn't know him.
Oh,
yeah, he was 20 years old and he was on his way to Alaska. He didn't know about us, Coyle.
Oh,
yeah.
So he was on the same boat.
Yeah, same
Isn't
boat.
Isn't that a coincidence?
I know, yeah. And he was there, the fishing and some other fins, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were there and they had to put oakum, you know, or something to put that, fix that boat, you know. That was a big boat,
yeah.
That Louise was big turn feeler.
Yeah.
They have to be big, you know. That's so wide, you know, over there, you know.
Yeah.
St. Mike is that Mount of Yukon, maybe, you know.
They have to be wide and
yeah.
And not too deep.
Well, that was Louise, and first was Senator, then Umatilla, and then Louise, and then we were moved, you know, that Louise went back. They just hauled it in there, you know. They didn't come, you know, after we got through that mouth of
the Yukon.
Yeah. Then that went back, and we were transferred what was that boat now? I just had it in my tongue. Dawson, I guess, or something, you know. So it was name of the place, yeah.
It was the Tanana, or
no, not Tanana. I just had that, you know, my plate.
Well, it'll come back to you. But that was another stern wheeler.
Yeah, that was, but smaller.
And
much smaller than Louise, you know.
And that took you from the mouth of the Yukon. Did you stop at an Indian village?
Oh, every Indian village we stop on the Yukon. They never miss any.
Well,
they cut the wood, you know.
Where'd you get on this other boat?
I think that was Dawson or something, that boat.
Yeah, but what village, where was it you transferred?
Oh, what village?
Yeah.
I don't know any of those villages, you know, on the Yukon, but they had to take a wood, it seemed like
every village they get
every
wood.
Village, you know, they take a wood, you know, for they had a steam at these boats, you know.
And they
make
stopped
a steam.
To get wood for fuel.
Huh?
The wood was used for fuel.
Yeah, fuel, yeah. Yeah, and just as soon as gangplank was down, we were there too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you went up the river to where? To Ruby?
No. We come through there, I guess, you know. But went to Holy Cross. That's
uh-huh.
why we went, you know. That's why we were heading, you know. Yeah,
I see.
We come in the Yukon and then we came, you know, first villages we knew, you know, it was, but there was a lot of villages and everywhere they had a fish and trying this here, a fish, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it smelled way off, you know. Yeah, oh,
but
I like it and the Yukon, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
beautiful?
It was just beautiful. We like it, you know, on the Yukon. Yeah,
but you were headed for Holy Cross.
We were heading for Holy Cross
and
to Iditarod. And
okay.
Holy.
If you went to, you were going to Holy Cross and then you were going to go across land to Iditarod?
No, we went to Holy Cross, and then we that's why I did a Iditarod River starts in Holy Cross.
Oh.
Iditarod, then we took Iditarod River from Holy Cross Mission, you know, that they uh-huh. have the mission there, and I don't know, quite a few Finns then, you know, and, I mean, and natives, you know.
Then you took the Iditarod River to
Yeah, that's why the river goes, you know. The Iditarod River goes, you know, starts from Holy Cross.
I see.
And we went to Holy Cross. That's why we were heading all the time to Holy Cross. I don't know. There was a lot of towns, you know. Yeah, there was a lot of towns. There was.
Yeah.
But we weren't going to upriver yet, you know. When you get to Holy Cross, that goes to upriver, you know, to White Horse and there, you know. But we were going to Iditarod, you know. And so when we got to Holy Cross, they knew us, all about us already, you know, the names and everything, you know. They always go to Iditarod, you know. And they put on the boats, those natives and pilots on the... Then it was. Then we get to Nancy Bell. When we got to Iditarod, then this other boat, you know, that we had come, you know, that was the fourth boat, and then the fifth boat was Nancy Bell. That stayed in Iditarod all mm-hmm. the time. Just made runs to Holy Cross.
I see.
Yeah, and I think we went. We took. I don't know. And then there was Dykeman between Holy Cross and. Iditarod, this riverboat was on the bar all the time. It was so dry that summer, you know, real dry, and they had. We were almost in Iditarod, and it was so dry, you know, that there was no water on the Iditarod River.
Right.
Some places were real narrow, you know, and then on. Enoko. Yeah, the big flats, you know, there,
yeah.
You know. But then other places were crooked and no water, and we were hanging there, I don't know how long, you know, got stuck on the gravel all the time, gravel bar. And they had long poles, you know, and the fellas take their shoes off, and they went on those poles and tried to jerk the boat out. It wasn't a big boat, you know, but it was quite a lot of passengers on there. I forgot how much. This is going home already, that Linda. Oh, well, it's time, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they had a horse in the boat, and a fellow went on horse's back, and a horse was pulling and that boat, you know, off the gravel bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was funny. And they had a barge, you know, big barge pulling, you know, stuff too, besides people, you know.
Right.
We had a big barge, that's why it got stuck, you know. Yeah, and we were on the way in the boat, and mosquitoes eating us, my gosh, it's all about tea.
How long did it take you to get from Holy Cross to Iditarod?
Well, I forgot, you know, a couple of three days or four, I think. We were quite a while, you know, I don't remember exact days, you know.
Well, when you got to Iditarod...
Then I got to Iditarod.
Was Gus there waiting to see you?
Gus was... Gus been waiting for me. He was working for Stramberg, Charlie Stramberg then.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Stramberg was mining in Iditarod, and they was there too, you know. Yeah, they were there.
Yeah.
And he was working for Charlie Stramberg. He was mining and freighting from Iditarod at 7 miles, you know, to Discovery. That was in flat, you know, there's flat and... And Iditarod is a landing place. They don't have no mining there at all, you know. Just the landing place and hotels and everything, you know. Boats come in there.
Were there quite a few of the Finn men, and they're waiting for all of you ladies who were on the boat?
No, they were working. They were working already, and Gus been there, and he left a letter for me, you know. In the hotel's name was, you know, Donald's Hotel, you know, I guess, Donald's, yeah. He left a letter for me, you know, over there, you know, and said that he'll be in the morning there, you know. He'll come in the morning. He couldn't wait. He had to go because we weren't coming, you know.
Yeah.
We got there, we got that the next day, you know, then, uh-huh. you know. We got there that weekend late at night there, that's it. And so when we got to this hotel, you know, I read a letter. And he said, I'll come in the morning and you stay in this hotel and I'll be there. And then a fella, Bogoy, you know, Mrs. Miskovich's brother-in-law or brothers, he lived in Iditarod too then, you know. Mm-hmm. And he walked from, it was 7 miles, you know, walk across the hills, you know, not by road, you know, a bit longer, you know, but across the hills. And he come in a landing place there to Iditarod, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, that was Iditarod country too, the flat and this discovery where we went to, where minings were. So he come and he said, I'm walking back. You want to walk with me, you know, back, you know. So we did, and he telephoned. They have telephones, you know. Mm-hmm. So he telephoned, and they said that I'm bringing 3 women with me, you know. Tell Gus and Soini and them, you know.
Yeah.
And first Soini came, you know. And then Gus, you know, after he had work, then Gus came. And then one after another, those fellas, as they got through with their work, you know. They come yeah. and meet us it right through in the night, daylight, you know.
Yeah.
And we walk over there, you know, 7 miles, you know, the last stretch of it.
Well, did he have a home ready for you to live in when you arrived? Home ready,
let me tell you. There was no home, you know. My gosh, this is what I can tell you. Why it was just terrible. We had no place to live, you know. It was awful hard. We got some place, you know, and a partition, you know, and people were just living, you know, just a little corner, you know. And then I went to work right away. They want me to go to work right away, and I went to work and to Swedish and Finnish couple, you know. They had 40 men and they cooked themselves, and me go to work, you know, do the other work, wash dishes and, you know, everything else. I went to work and Gus was eating there too, and so I went to work and we had, you know, when we had a levy, you know, old blacksmith shop, you know, no floor in there or anything, and just as black as can be. That was the only thing that you could get, you know, in
that's
there.
Where you
live? Yeah. Oh, yeah, and no floor. Gus went and, well, he said, we got a levy here, and we bought the bed, you know, from somebody, you know. Oh, those are folding beds, you know.
Yeah.
And Gus went and he got a stove, you know, and he went and get rough lumber, just white rough lumber, you know, and just lay it on and put some stringers, you know, and on the stringers he put that on, you know.
Yeah.
And then I went to mess house and got 3 egg boxes, 3 empty egg boxes, and put them on top of each other, you know, to make a dresser, you know, drawers.
Yeah.
Dresser drawers. And I took a curtain and put it in front of it. I got a piece of material and put it in front of them, and that was fine. And then I was looking glass on that, those boxes, you know.
So and, you had a bed and a dresser.
Well, I had a bed and a dresser, and yeah, and then somebody gave us a few broken chairs or something, you know, and that was right close where I worked.
That was your first home in Alaska.
That was the home in Alaska, and that moose was coming, and you just have to put your face on the pillow, otherwise they'd drop on you, on your face, yeah. And that's true. That's just that once, you know, we didn't even have coffee in there or anything. We went to mess house, we didn't bother.
Yeah.
Then we were promised a nice cabin in the fall. The fellas went to Stampede. They had those stampedes all the time. They went to Susanna's stampede.
Yeah.
Susanna. And Cassie's brother went there too. That Charlie, you know, the single man. And went to Susanna's stampede. And then we got a cabin from Swedish boys. They left, you know. And boy, then we papered that, you know. And
did you buy the house?
Huh?
Did you buy the house from them?
Then we buy, you know, we paid $75. Or big, nice log cabin.
Yeah.
$75, yeah. And boy, we stayed there in that then, you know.
When was the Shoshana stampede?
Well, that was 1913. So yeah. Same summer that we went there, you know. Shoshana stampede, and they never find anything. You know, they had a terrible trip, you know. And then we get all the money, you know. We were going to go away right away, you know, when we had enough money, tickets, you know, from Iditarod.
But you stayed in Iditarod.
Oh, yes. We stayed after 6 years, we went out. After 6 years, we went out.
And where did you go? After 6 years, you went...
We went outside. We said that we... It was nothing but mud and gables and everything in Iditarod. There were those open cut mice and soft mud, you know. My gosh, it was terrible. And I said, my gosh, and the howling dogs all night long. Hills are full of howling dogs. They're using them, you know, winter time. Yeah, or mail, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
And driving. I said, I'm not going to stay here, nothing doing, you know, we go. But we gave Charlie, you know, some kind of stampede, help him to go, and he never found anything, the hard trip.
Well, did Gus continue to work for Charlie Strandberg, or did Gus...
No, he quit right away. He went broke. Charlie Strandberg went broke, you know, yes, he went broke same summer.
Uh-huh.
He went broke, and he never made anything, and beaten. Johnny Beaton, you never heard of him. He's the one that found Iditarod country. Another man with him, you know, 1909.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was found 1909. And 1910, the people started to go in. We went 1913.
Okay, it was Johnny Beaton who found the gold.
Yeah, Johnny Beaton.
In 1909.
He made money in Iditarod. Yeah, he made money. And...
Well, what did Gus do then? Did he go? Did he get some property of his own?
Gus got. He was rating though. That later on, we went out first. You know, we went out. You know, after he was working. You know, he was working. He didn't work wages. He got the horses right away. Yeah, he got the horses, and we went to woods, you know. They steam. Oh, I forgot that, you know. They throw in ground with the steam. And we went, and he got the horses, yeah, sending from Seattle. Yeah, that's the time it was, you know. He sent these big horses, you know, and from Seattle, and he went to 1914, 15, 16, and 17, we went to woods, you know, those windows, and put thousands of cords, you know, and then floated down this Otter Creek. That was Otter Creek River, you know, in that place, you know, where we led from the mine in Discovery, they call.
Otter Creek?
Otter Creek, yeah.
Otter? O-T-T-E-R?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Otter Creek.
So in the winters, then... In 1914, 15, and 16, and 17,
yeah.
he went up and cut wood.
Cut wood, thousands of cords, you know, and he had, first he had 25 men cutting wood, you know, but we didn't board them or anything, they batched, you know, they cut wood.
Uh-huh.
Tony Lindstrom, you know, heard of him.
Yeah.
Well, Tony was there cutting wood, and Charlie O'Halloran, and Tony cut wood, you know, like a hectare, all those windows, you know, yeah. And he was just like brother to Gus, you know.
Yeah.
All the time they were together. And he always come to our place, you know. He was nice fella then, you know.
And then they would float the logs down?
Yeah, on this Otter Creek. And that come almost to Tukatna and over there, you know. Tukatna, you heard of Tukatna and...
Tukatna?
Not to McGrath, but to Offord. And you know Offord Creek, you know. It came, you know, 18 miles... We went from the flat, not from flat, but they call that where we were, 3 miles between flat and this is Discovery where we worked, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Discovery, between flat and Discovery. So So he worked over there, and we had three fellas working, you know, with them.
Okay, so the wood was for the steam plants, and then they used the steam to thaw the ground.
they had a big, you know, where they burned the wood, you know, big place, you know, and they had a fireman there and make a steam, and then they put the points down, and yeah.
Thaw the ground.
Thaw the ground, and then they quit that, because he put it for Riley Company. Riley, that's who he worked for, Riley Investment Company.
Riley Investment.
Yeah, there's quite a few that knows that. Well, Bruce knows and all them, and a lot of fellas here. And Riley Investment Company, he put that wood, you know, and
you went outside about 1917, or...? You say you left and went out to outside?
We went out. No, we didn't go yet then, you know. He worked, you know. Then they quit that. They found out, you know, that in Nome, you know, they found out, you know, that water would do same thing, you know. And they didn't have to get all this wood, you know. That's quite good, you know. So much better, you know. So they were throwing with water then, you know, ground, you know. Instead, you know, with the steam, you know. Oh, yeah, they do so much better, and then they floated down all this wood, you know, and Gus used to went there and had a big pack, you know, went those 18 miles, you know, through the country, no trail or anything, you know, yeah.
But how long did you live there in Iditarod?
Oh, we were there in Iditarod. We went there in 1913, and Gus started the mine in 1932 himself.
Oh,
he was rating for miners then, you know, after this towing was off. He was rating for miners, yeah.
Okay, so then you lived in
for a while, you know, and he got the Gleetrack, you know, that first tractor. He didn't know how to drive, you know, but he bring it home alone, you know. But they already heard that. They heard it, Gus, you know.
Oh, so he began mining for himself. In 1932.
Yeah, we started the mine in 1932, and we mine in Iditarod, you know. We mine in there, you know. Well, 1937, we went to Offer and bought the Offer Creek out, you know.
Okay, 1937, you bought out Offer Creek. And then mine there.
And we mined there 27 years, in that one creek. Until Gus retired, with that retired.
Okay. Then when you retired, you came to Fairbanks.
Yeah, we did come to Fairbanks, you know. That's when we retired, when we come to Fairbanks, you know.
And when you came here, where did you live in Fairbanks?
We lived when we went out, you know, 1919, you know, it took us 35 days to go out, you know. Mm-hmm. We were stopped, you know, and 20 miles below Circle. Yeah, we were there with the boat, you know, and there was no road to Circle, you know, to Fairbanks from Circle.
But you were going outside to Seattle?
Yeah, we were going to Seattle, never mind that, but I just telling you, we were there, it took us 35 days, you know, 25 days I was coming in here, and when I went out 6 years ago, I stopped, you know, over there, you know, in 20 miles below Circle, you know, had a hang there, you know, because ice jam came from 40 miles, you know.
Oh.
Or the big ice, 9 feet, you know, they used to walk across it, you know.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, yeah, and that was those from a Fort Gibbon, those soldiers were taken away, you know, 1919 from there, from Fort Gibbon, Tanana it is, but they call it a Fort Gibbon. And the families and everything, and we were there, you know, 8 days, you know, in that, 8 days. And they thought they'd have to have that boat left there, you know, and
was go. That in the fall?
Huh?
That was in the spring.
That was in the fall.
In the fall.
In the fall, 1919. It was so late because White Bass man, you know, this here, Anderson, you know, that had, you know, he was working for that White Bass, you know, in a diamond. Yeah, and he wasn't through his books, you know. We had to wait him there, you know, and that's why we got cut, you know. But we got it out, we got out anyway. That jam come down, you know, and like a big hole on our boat when we were taking wood, and the boat was going like that, and ice, you know, and oh, it was terrible for a while, you know. All the women crying on the boat, and Mrs. Matzler's body was in that boat. I'm just telling that to you. David Matzler's body was on the boat. She had died, and a little girl, you know, 6-year-old girl, you know, from California, her body was there. And
yeah,
it was a big mess, but you don't have to see.
Yeah, well, that doesn't matter for the Queen Regent. But that was just a trip outside.
We went out then, you
just
know.
Just for the winter?
Yeah, we went to East, we went to New York, and we were coming back in the biggest hurry you'd ever see, to Alaska. We didn't know how we get back fast.
You really missed it.
Yeah, and we come with the dog team then, you know, and yeah, we come with the dog team.
How did you come, where'd you go by dog team? From Seward?
We went to Iditarod. We were still in there. 6 years, yeah. No, see, we went 37, we went away from there, you know. Then,
Where'd you go by dog team?
We started from Anchorage dog team, you know, and not Anchorage, but Wasilla. Railroad was built to Wasilla, and we had 7 dogs. And
that was when you, after you'd been out visiting?
Yeah, out visiting in 6 years, you know, after we went, we were here 6 years, and then we went.
So when you came back, you went, came from Seward up to Wasilla, or Willow?
Huh?
Did you say it was, you took the dog team from Willow or Wasilla?
No, Wasilla.
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 And then you went by dog team.
Huh?
And then you took the dog team.
Yeah, we bought the dog team, you know, from fellas that come from Bethel. From Kaskakum, you know, Bethel. We knew him, you know, Kirky and Felder. Yeah, and they had a good team, and boy, we had a good, you know, but we had awful, terrible, you know. Since I had a master dogs, you know, about 200 miles, you know. Because it was so bad, Gus had to use skis, you know. I don't know where the mailman was or anything, you know.
But just you and Gus?
Yeah, just us, you know, yeah.
Yeah,
one old fella, but he had 5 dogs and he couldn't go. I had to break trail for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Oh, be darned.
Yeah, break trail for him.
So you've been over the Iditarod Trail?
I went to Iditarod Trail, yeah.
You bet.
Yeah, but we didn't go to Nome. These fellas went to Nome by the Nome and everything, but we didn't, you know. But we got off, we went to McGrath, you know. Of course, they were there too. But then we got off, you know, and we took a, went to, you know, to Iditarod, to Wright Strait, you know, from McGrath. Like when you McGrath, you know, take that road instead of way roundabout, you know.
Yeah. Do you think that was about 200 miles?
200, that was, that was more than 200.
Yeah,
200, but a Gus must a lot of dogs too, you know. After we got to that end, you know, more to McGrath end, you know, we had good trail then, you know.
Yeah. Well, how many miles do you think it was from Wasilla to McGrath to Iditarod?
I don't know how many miles it was, you know. It couldn't have been 500 miles, but the Seward is, you know, Seward from to Iditarod, and they call, you know, they call 500 miles from Fairbanks to Nome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they call. Mm-hmm. And 500 miles, I guess it's 300 anyway or more. Mm-hmm. 300 or 400, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to have to go because it's dinner time for
you. Yeah.
So...